No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. I'm sure that these words are echoed by every listener who knows and loves the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And I have no doubt that in a very special way, in the man whom we are to consider in the 9th chapter of John, we would see one who would also, in his testimony, give expression to those words. For he is one who never had anyone like Jesus come into his life. The Lord Jesus, with his grace and power, came to this man one day as he was sitting by the highway begging, and Jesus, passing by, sees this man, and he undertakes for this man. And it is wonderful to notice how this man grows in strength and in knowledge, coming out boldly for the Lord Jesus, and then finally is seen as a worshiper. This is what is unfolded for us in this sixth miracle which Jesus did as recorded by John in his gospel. I would ask that you turn with me to this passage, for we wish to consider again in these few moments with the book that which Scripture declares, setting forth the glory of God in the message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this chapter, the Lord Jesus, passing by, seeing this man blind from his birth, we see a picture of how all mankind, from Adam downward, ever since the history of man began, men, because of sin, have been born blind, spiritually blind, that is. For we must remember that in these miracles which Jesus performed, that which had to do with the physical well-being of mankind, we have portrayed for us spiritual lessons which God intends should speak to our hearts and give us the enlightenment of the salvation of our souls. This is far more important than the saving or the healing of our bodies. Being born blind suggests what is true of every man, woman, and child. Without Christ coming into the world, we all come with a sinful nature, and we are blind to the realities of eternity, blind to spiritual things. This is our condition. We do not have the understanding of the grace and love of God, nor of the need of eternal realities. But this is what Jesus has come to reveal. You will notice the disciples ask who it was that sinned that this man should be born blind. But Jesus says that this man was not blind because of his parents' sin or that he had sinned, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He allowed this to take place that he might perform a miracle to declare his glory and power. We might also think of this as why God allowed sin in the first place to come into the world. He allowed it that he might show forth his glory and grace and salvation. So thus the Lord Jesus declares that the works of God should be made manifest in him was this man born blind. We want to draw attention to the fact now as to how the Lord accomplished this miracle. And in the details of it, we see, I believe, the means whereby the Lord brings light to darkened eyes, how he brings life to dead souls. Now he opened the eyes of the blind man, we see how he gives spiritual sight to those who are dead in sins. We read very simply in verse 6 that Jesus spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. I suppose we would conclude here that putting clay on a blind man's eyes would make him blinder than he was, if such would be possible. And of course, in what we have signified here, we see just what took place with the coming of Christ into the world. I have no doubt that the clay suggests here the Lord Jesus coming himself in humiliation, the spittle speaking of the humiliation and the dust of the fact that mankind is made out of the dust of the earth. And the Lord Jesus in lowly grace came and took part of the same. Why did he do this? Why did he become man? Why did he humble himself? He came that he might, as man, give himself in death for man. It was only as man that he could die. And he came into our condition. He came as a man, that he might, as the man Christ Jesus, be the one mediator between God and men. That he might be, as Job desired, a dazed man between God and man, that he might bring us together. Then you will notice that he gives the word to the blind man, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. The pool of Siloam meant sent. Water in Scripture, and especially in John's Gospel we have been noticing, is a fit type of the Spirit of God, the one who himself is that living power to refresh and to cleanse. And so here you have, in the fact that Siloam is mentioned, and the interpretation given as being sent, we have that which suggests the fact that the Spirit of God was the one sent by the Father and sent by the Lord Jesus on the day of Pentecost to be here in this world, to convict men of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and also to minister Christ. That is his duty, that is his joy, to unfold the glories of Christ to mankind. The Lord Jesus, speaking of him, said that he would come, he would show the works of Christ, he would show the glory of Christ, he would speak of me. And so Jesus is here, through the power of the Spirit of God, made known to mankind. And in this man having the clay upon his eyes, and is telling to go to the pool of Siloam, which is being called sent, we have a picture of the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ brought to bear upon the blind condition of this man. But there's another factor that we want to notice here. Jesus says to this man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. You and I reap the benefits of the person and work of Christ. And you and I reap the benefits of the work of the Spirit of God through the principle of faith and obedience to the word of the Lord. This we have seen exemplified for us in this man. We read very simply, he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. He was a man who realized his blindness. He was a man who wanted to see. And when he heard the voice of the Lord commanding him, he went. And in the obedience of faith, we have him reaping then the blessing which the Lord longs to give. He went his way, he washed, and he came seeing. It's just as simple as that, beloved friends, in the miracle of conversion. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ alone that we have spiritual eyesight. It is through the Spirit of God alone who can take the word and make it good to our souls that we have our eyes open. It is only in the Spirit of God's power that we can understand the things of God. And then in the obedience of faith, we have that blessing comes to us which the Lord longs to give through his word. He speaks and it is done. And when a man believes, it is then that light comes into his heart. And how does he believe? What does he believe? He believes the word of the Lord. It is something very concrete, something very specific. And the Lord Jesus gave specific, simple commands, go and wash. And in the message of the gospel, we hear Jesus say, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Believe, and thou shalt live. And the soul that comes to Christ is one who believes, one who receives him. And those that receive him in simple faith have their darkness turned to light. They have their blind eyes open, and now they see. Immediately upon receiving his sight, we want to notice what happens to this man. He meets up with his neighbors. They see that something had taken place. And they say, is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he, but others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. There is no question in his own mind who he was. He knew what he was. He knew he had been blind. They said to him, how were thine eyes opened? A good question. What happened to you, so to speak? The blind man very quickly responds in simplicity. A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Just as simple as that. There was no hesitation in what took place. He doesn't claim anything for himself. He doesn't know much about the Lord Jesus, but he knows that it was a man called Jesus. And it speaks to us here of a person that has little faith. But I tell you, beloved friends, it is little faith in the right person. It's faith in that word of that right person that brings blessing to the soul. God will cause our faith to develop as we go on. And in fact, he even uses the opposition of the neighbors and the Pharisees in this chapter to develop this man's faith. Next, they ask him, where is he? He says, I know not. He's not afraid to confess what he doesn't know, and how little we know when we first know the Lord as Savior. But one who will give testimony and witness to what he does know is the one who will be able to give witness and testimony to that which he shall know. For the Lord will ever lead on those who know him, that they might grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. But notice the Pharisees. They come to him. They bring to him, the Pharisees. It was on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees asked how he received his sight. And again he answers, just as he did to the neighbors. He said, he put clay on mine eyes and washed, and I do see. And the Pharisees, in their philosophical approach, in unbelief, they say, why, this man, if he were a sinner, he certainly wouldn't do a miracle on the Sabbath day. They would reason from unbelief. They do not know the Lord, and hence they do not know his power and love. And they say to the blind man, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? What do you think of him? And he said, well, he's a prophet. Well, he's growing in his knowledge of him. He's a prophet. Yes, he was a prophet. But he was much more than a prophet, he's going to find out. And then the Jews, however, did not believe that this man was the one who was born blind. And so they call the parents. And they say to him, is this your son who you say is born blind? How then doth he see? The parents didn't want to get involved. They had heard that the Jews would put any man out of the synagogue who confessed that Jesus was the Christ. And they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. Just think of it. They wanted to be neutral. They did not want to be involved. They did not want to commit themselves. I tell you, beloved friends, we have to commit ourselves either for or against Christ. It is a matter of our eternal welfare. We cannot be neutral in this matter. The parents say he is of age. Ask him. And so they do ask him. They call him again. And they say, now give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Think of it. Linking Christ with one who is a sinner. Calling him a sinner. Oh, they do not know him. This is the blindness of unbelief. These people, these Pharisees, claimed that they could see, but they were blinded by their own unbelief. Notice the answer that this blind man gives. It is an answer that is formed through deep experience and conviction of having had the Lord speak to his own heart and touch his own life. He says, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. You could not take this from him. You could not rob him of the experience he had had. He had never seen the glory of the rising sun nor the setting of the beautiful sun at the end of day. He had never looked into the stars and seen the beauty of them, the moon and all the glory of creation. He had never seen any of this. He now had his eyes open. He could see. And it's a picture of a man who has never seen the beauty of Christ, the Son of God, who has never seen the glory of God's handiwork, who has never seen the realities of eternity and the value of spiritual things. Now he has his eyes open. He sees. Everyone who is listening to my voice, who has come in touch with the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior, knows whereof he speaks. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. They said to him, well, what did he do to open your eyes? He said, I've told you once, do you want to be his disciples too? This man is growing, he's becoming bolder. And they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. And then the man takes up the defense of this one who was everything to him. This blind man is now a man of one man, shall we say, a man who is solely absorbed with the one who has opened his eyes. And he says, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He is firmly convinced that the one who opened his eyes, this Jesus, this prophet, is of God. When they hear this, they said, you were altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They did not wish him. Yes, there is a religion without Christ, a religion that does not want Christ, and those that love the Lord Jesus Christ, they cast him out. But you notice where they cast him. They cast him right into the arms of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus is right at hand to seek him and to find him. And immediately he says to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? This is the question, beloved friend, that I would ask you. Do you believe on the Son of God? This man answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? Ah, he's made willing to have a revelation of Jesus to his own soul. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Notice this simplicity of this man's response to a revelation of Jesus Christ. It is he, Jesus said, that talketh with thee, and you are looking at him. And he said, Lord, I believe. Can you say that today? Lord, I believe. Oh, if you do, your eyes will be open, and you will become a worshiper of him. And there was no question with this man as to the certainty of his blessing. He said, one thing I know. With the Apostle Paul, those that have trusted Christ, we can also say, I know whom I have believed. And with the Apostle John, we can say that we know that we have passed from death unto life. And with Paul, again, we can say we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Beloved, here the Word of God gives us divine certainties. We may know him through having our eyes open. And how can you have your spiritual sight today? By opening your heart to the revelation of Jesus Christ. He would speak to you through his word. He would tell you to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Yield to the Spirit's pleading. Open your heart and receive Christ today, and you too will believe and worship him.